from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And as we wind down the final stretch of the season here, 6 weeks or so to go, Cubs with a win yesterday, Bruce, the White Sox with a win yesterday, as we welcome everyone in to Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Mike in today, of course, for David Haw, who's taking a football day off this day today. And Mike, welcome to the show as always. You're more than just a guest co-host, you're a part of the culture here inside the clubhouse. And today we're going to talk a lot about the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago White Sox. Does Sizemore matter with the White Sox? Are the Cubs contenders or pretenders? 312-644-6767. Also talk about what the great things that the station has been able to do. CubsForACure.com is where you need to go to continue to contribute to what the Score has been able to do, along with the Chicago Cubs. Over $650,000 donated to CubsForACure.com. $1 million is the goal, Mike, and we're here to help push that along this weekend as well. We'll talk to Jameson Tyone, a cancer survivor, joining us at 9:30 from the Chicago Cubs. Corey Lee from the Chicago White Sox joining us at 10:30. And your calls, always 312-644-6767. That's our text line as well. We want to hear from you as well, Mike. And again, let's start with what the Score and the Chicago Cubs have been able to do this weekend, starting with the radiothon that we had for 24 hours on the station, Mike.
Absolutely. Danny did a great job on that and signed off a shade over 550,000. As you mentioned, up to 650,000 raised right now. For our listeners out there, if you would like to donate online, you can do so. CubsForACure.com. The 50-50 raffle at the ballpark today will also be the 50% to charity will go to Cubs for a Cure. We had some emotional stuff on here yesterday. Ryan Sandberg, also now a cancer survivor, Bruce. And we have a special piece of audio here that I want to play before we get into the on-the-field stuff. But certainly one of the most beloved Cubs of all time, Rhino, talking about his cancer journey here.
Where are we at in treatment? How much radiation? You know, where are we at going forward?
I'm glad you asked. I'd like to make an announcement right here. First and foremost, 740. Just a second.
Take your time.
It's 745 this morning. Had my last treatment. All good.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
11:30, met my oncologist. He said the tests are great. Cancer undetected, very manageable going forward, and that's the next plan, and just found that out 2 hours ago.
Wow.
So what a coincidence with this going on.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and I mean, I can't even imagine that feeling.
Take all the time you need. That is a wonderful thing.
No, it's incredible. The doctors, the nurses, like I said, the support, been quite the journey, but it's all come to a good conclusion here. So tears of joy are happening.
Tears of joy indeed.
And so that was Ryan Sandberg yesterday, Bruce. And news doesn't get any better than that when you've been down with a cancer diagnosis for Sandberg. Some awesome, awesome news right there.
Well, it's just awesome what, you know, we've been able to do. And listening to Rhino yesterday and just the people's hearts that have come out during this, CubsForACure.com is where you go. Cubs for a Cure is what the score and the Cubs have been working at, and it'll continue out throughout this weekend at the ballpark on Marquee today. You'll be hearing a lot about it over the next few days. And again, the goal is $1 million raised. We're well past halfway, Mike, somewhere around $650,000, and we need to continue to push. I don't know any family or friend that hasn't been touched by cancer in their family, and it's something that we all have in our hearts to try to help and cure. There's no more helpless feeling than having a friend or a loved one with cancer, and just only thing being able to do is just be there for them. And this is a way that you can be there for all those people who are in need. CubsForACure.com. CubsForACure.com. Also, the 50-50 raffle that you'll find online as well at that part to be able to help find a cure for cancer.
Absolutely. Well said, Bruce. And as you mentioned, Jameson Taillon, a cancer survivor, will join us at 9:30. We'll talk about Cubs for a Cure. We'll certainly talk about what's going on in the field. And then Corey Lee from the White Sox will join us at 10:30. Bruce and I are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Store Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Bruce, after a rough week in Cleveland, the Cubs came back home yesterday, 39,000 plus at Wrigley, and things look good, and then they look bad, and then thankfully Seiya Suzuki was able to help walk them off there in the 10th, and the Cubs get a much needed victory.
Are you talking about Hector Nervous?
And I am, and I can tell you this, and I'm sure I speak for lots of Cubs fans when I say, as I was driving around in my car during the ninth inning there without even watching it on TV, I was getting nervous just listening to Zach and Ron do the game. And I'm sure I was not alone there in my car driving yesterday, listening to the end of the game.
Hector Neris is a very special part of the Chicago Cubs. And when I say that, I'm sure Cub fans will go, well, what do you mean? He makes every game way too exciting. He blew his save yesterday. Cubs came back to win that game, as you said, Mike. But the reality is that he goes out there, win, lose, draw, and never shows any emotion. He's an inspiration to his teammates. He's a favorite teammate. He's a former winner, a World Series champion with the Houston Astros, a consummate pro. But it is a roller coaster ride every time that Hector is out there on the field. So you wonder, Mike, you know, does Hodge, does Miller, does Merriweather, are one of those guys going to be the closer for the Chicago Cubs before September comes? Will Council change his way of using Hector Neris as the season progresses and the Cubs hopefully get closer to being the third wild card in the playoffs?
Yeah, and Bruce, those are Miller and Hodge are two of the names that I had written down because, and listen, this is not a knock on Neris. You just put it very appropriately for what he brings to the table. But historically, right, he has not been a ninth inning guy. He's been an elite setup man. I know in Houston he was a setup man and he did a wonderful job. He was not brought in to close, right? Albert Alzolay was supposed to close for the Cubs this year. Injuries have spoken and said otherwise, but at this point, I don't know why the Cubs would not try, whether it's Miller or Hodge or Jorge Lopez or whoever Council wants to put. It could be a rotating cast, for that matter. But I don't see why you keep going back to Neris in that situation based on what we've seen this year. It's not just this one time, right? It's been many different times where this has happened. So,
who is Mike Esposito's closer?
I like Miller, and that's my own opinion. I don't put any, let's put it this way, I haven't given it much more thought other than he's the guy I'm most comfortable with when he goes out there. I mean, Hodges looked great too, and I know Lopez I put on there because I know he has closed before. But in my brain, after watching this team, Miller is the guy I am most comfortable with out there. What say you to that, my friend?
Well, I'm going to manage with counsel along the way. I'm going to use Neris until you know. Again, do I like the fact that he blew a save yesterday? No, I'm of the persuasion that if you have a guy that's been your closer and you've lived with the results to this point, until he starts blowing two or three, I'm gonna continue to use him. Because once you put him in a different role, what you're saying is you're not good enough to do the job anymore. We're gonna put you in the sixth or seventh inning. It kind of weakens what has been one of the strongest parts of the Cubs team over the last, I would say, 7 weeks, and 6 or 7 weeks now, Mike. The Cubs bullpen has been as good as anybody's. The wonkiness at the end is something that's unnerving, but I'm with counsel. I'm going to stick with Neris at this point. I know it's not a popular idea, but he's converted a lot more than he hasn't. I would say I'm going to stick with him for now.
312-644-6767 is our number. And Bruce, as you look at the wild card standings today, the Cubs 4.5 behind the last wild card spot, which is Atlanta at this point. The Braves are 64-58. The Cubs 60-63. And they're entering a stretch here. And I know, listen, yesterday's win was very important. Kyle Hendricks pitched well. They're entering a stretch here where they have 18 games against sub-500 teams. If ever there's a time for the Cubs to make a run, now is it. And we want to take a listen real quickly here to what Kyle Hendricks, the veteran starting pitcher for the Cubs, had to say about this stretch coming up after yesterday's game.
Totally. Yeah, we know exactly where we're at, and it's been that way for a while. So it's the opportunity that's in front of us. That's the exact word. The opportunity that's in front of us every single day. So today, doesn't matter how it looks, how we get it done, a win's a win. So that was big today, and just move on to the tomorrow, but we can't put too much ahead of us, you know? It's really one day at a time. No matter the opponent, no matter what, got to play our best pace.
And the Cubs, Bruce, looking up at St. Louis, Cincinnati, albeit only by a half game in the wild card standings, the Giants by a game and a half, but then the two teams, and this is where when you ask if the Cubs are contenders, this is where I'm like, well, because the Braves and the Mets, I think at this point, I'm not saying they can't catch them, but if I'm looking on paper, I think the Braves and the Mets certainly have the edge over the Cubs right now. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you don't care where you are with the St. Louis or Cincinnati. It doesn't mean
right.
anything. Okay? You're not trying to catch them. So the only thing that matters for the Cubs is the third wild card. They're 10 games behind in the division. That's with 39 games left. That's not going to happen, okay? So you wipe that out completely. They're not catching Milwaukee. You're 5 games in the loss column. So you have 39 games left. You only look at the loss column now. They're 5 games behind Atlanta for the third wild card. That is the only entry for the Chicago Cubs. Watch the third wild card. Watch Atlanta. Watch the Mets. See if any of the other clubs catch up to them. So the Cubs probably have to go, I think they have to probably go 25-14 to win 84 games, okay? That means that Atlanta would probably because Atlanta and every team above the Cubs other than Pittsburgh would be has the tiebreaker, so you have to go one better than the tiebreaker to catch them. So they would have to, Atlanta right now would be about two games under 500 from this point on to be tied with the Cubs. So it would be about three games under 500 that Atlanta would have to play the rest of the way if they're not caught by the Mets. And again, the mathematics are pretty high against you. The best thing you can say about the Cubs, they need to play about 700 or plus baseball the rest of the way.
Yeah, and that's the difficult part. And listen, this is not last year's Braves that were one of the best teams in all of baseball. They are six games over 500. They're still talented. They've had some injuries. They have not played as well. So it is certainly doable. But as you said, it's going to take a nice run here, and the Cubs have to get started on that. Which, you know, listen, they had 1-8 of 10. You were feeling good about this team, at least I was, and then you went into Cleveland and got swept, and that, to me, kind of symbolizes what we've seen this season from the Cubs, right? When you start to get excited, when you feel that they have some momentum going, something like that would happen. It's been a seesaw affair the whole way. They've never really established themselves as an above 500 team since the very beginning of the season back in April.
The one thing that I have some real positive feelings about the Cubs about making it to the playoffs is that you take away Cleveland, you take away Milwaukee, you take Philadelphia, the Yankees, Baltimore, probably at this point, you know, a couple Western Division teams, but, you know, Arizona and certainly San Diego and Dodgers. But the rest of the teams that the Cubs have played all year, I thought they were about the same as, okay? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that much difference between the teams. So Atlanta is just an ordinary team after losing superstars this year, losing pitchers. They lost their top pitcher. They lost their top two players. So they're an ordinary team like that right now. The thing in baseball right now, Mike, is this. Teams have really good players. When they lose those good players or good pitchers, the level of the player replacing them, in my opinion, is at an all-time low. Okay, therefore, you see an awful lot of mediocrity in baseball now when you see injuries taking their toll on teams, not being able to really function the way that teams have in the past that were really good, because the depth on the bench, in the bullpen, in the rotation, just isn't there. It just isn't. I remember Jed Hoyer, the Cubs, talking in spring training about how they felt really great about the depth that they had pitching-wise going into this year with Brown, Wisniewski, Wicks, certainly Horton coming along as the top young prospect in their organization, starting pitching depth. And as we saw the season progress, we saw the attrition, we saw the injuries taking its toll. And Hoyer was right, Mike. The depth at starting pitching has held up. You know, there's been the resuscitated Hendricks part of the second half of the year. You've seen Javier Assad go from a middle reliever starter to a starter. So the depth has held up in starting pitching, but the attrition in baseball has really watered down the products and the teams. And with that, there is the ability for the Cubs to make their way back into the playoffs here with a good run. It's got to be a real good run over the last 39 games.
There's no question. 312-644-6767 is our number if you'd like to chime in. We saw it happen last year. We've seen hot streaks from teams this year, including lots of teams in that National League West. So there's no reason the Cubs can't do it, especially with what's coming up on their schedule. Bruce, we have some callers on hold. Let's get out to the phone lines. Daryl is on the road, wants to talk Cubs. Good morning, Daryl. You're on Inside the Clubhouse on the Score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, Bruce, you know, I think the Cubs, it's almost like when they were last year, they were the, the way they were playing baseball was like they played great at the end, but that last 2 weeks they collapsed. I think this year they're playing with house money. I think that they're healthier now. Like you said, their pitching is better. But I look at the Mets and the Braves. You know, they have to play each other and the Phillies, I think, a couple more times, so they could beat up on each other. But I think that, you know, if the Cubs can – and I'm glad they kept Bellinger. He could be a key guy going down the stretch. But I want to get your opinion. If the Cubs win 85 games, will they make the playoffs? Thanks.
Yeah, you know, that's a great number. I think 85, 86, Mike, is what it's going to be. Again, to get to 85, the Cubs are going to have to, you know, probably go 26 and 13 here. So that's, you know, it's great baseball. They can do it. You know, as you said, they went 8-2 recently. It really doesn't matter what the other teams do as long as the Cubs go on a hot streak. And are they capable of doing it? I think the offense right now is as good as it's been for the Cubs since April, okay? April was a very good month offensively for the Cubs. You know, Bellinger then incurred a couple of different injuries along the way. You know, you've had to deal with Swanson having a down year. But all in all, I think the trade with Morel is going to pay off. I think Paredes, who hasn't hit a lot, is going to hit more. And I think the lineup 1-9 is a lot stronger now than it has been. Amaya, since changing his batting stance, has been a contributor on offense. Armstrong has grown as an offensive player. So you're seeing a team that's not a pushover every night like they were for a long time in June and July offensively. They are a team that can score 4 or 5 runs and be competitive every night. So the possibility is certainly there that the Cubs can go on a run. They have to do it, and they can't have any glitches along the way.
No, and you mentioned what they have upcoming, Bruce. We have 2 more against Toronto, and then the Tigers come to town, and then it's at Miami, at Pittsburgh, at Washington, home against Pittsburgh, all those series ahead of home against the New York Yankees the first weekend in September. So that is the time. I mean, I think we'll know by that Yankees series, Friday, September 6th is when they start that series, where this team sits and what they need to do there in that the last few weeks of that season. So now is the time. Steele today and then Imanaga tomorrow. So hopefully the Cubs can close this series out strongly. Let's squeeze in one more call before we break, and then we'll talk to Jameson Taillon from the Cubs. Cubs for a Cure. That will happen at the bottom of the hour. Mike is in Clarendon Hills. He's up next on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to, more, I guess, let me say this. Something Bruce Levine said a moment ago kind of struck a chord with me when he was talking about the Braves losing 3 superstar players. Kind of struck me that the Cubs don't have any superstar players. Jeff's philosophy has been value. It seems to me he's been collecting league average or above league, slightly above league average players, and they don't have any superstars. I mean, Bellinger at one point was a superstar. Maybe he'll get back there, but he hasn't shown it. And the relievers are basically taken off the scrap heap, and that kind of.
Yeah, but they've done a good job, haven't they?
You guys
the relievers.
They have done a good job.
Yeah. Mike, thanks for your call. Hey, look, Mike has some good points here. I am in the same category, and that is, you know, the Cubs, do they need Soto? Do they need Burns? Do they need to spend another $60 million a year in payroll next year? That's not up for me and you to decide, Mike, but Burns will be available. I think he'll be their number one guy that they'll be looking for next year as far as a free agent. Again, the old adage is, if you need more hitting, go and get yourself the best pitcher in baseball, okay?
Yep.
Because it's still the game. And I think the Cubs will be players for Burns. Soto, I think the Yankees are going to do everything they can to bring Soto back. He's a phenomenal player, top three players in baseball right now, just having a great year there. I don't know if the Cubs can match that or whether he would come to Chicago or not, but I think they will try to bring in a star hitter for the middle of the lineup. Look, Bellinger was going to be that. He was that from July through September last year, one of the top offensive players in baseball. They gave him $30 million for this year, a $30 million option for next year, $20 after that. We'll see if he takes that or not, or he makes himself a free agent. But definitely, you know, a big bopper in the middle of the lineup is certainly what the Cubs are missing.
Bruce, we will continue this talk. We will also talk some White Sox coming up during the 10 o'clock hour. But up next, Cubs pitcher Jameson Taillon will join us. We're talking Cubs for a Cure. We're also talking, of course, what's going on the field. He's next. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haught today. This is Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now the 2-2. Sale rips one on the ground, fair in the left field for a base hit. Half around third. He's coming home. The throw nowhere near in time. Cubs win. Walk-off RBI single in the 10th. Seiya Suzuki. And the Cubs beat the Blue Jays 6-5.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Alongside Bruce Levine, I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haught today. That, of course, the Cubs walking things off yesterday against the Blue Jays. Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. Cubs go again this afternoon with Justin Steele on the hill. And Bruce, we are thrilled to be joined now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois, by another stalwart member of that starting rotation.
Yes, indeed. Jameson Taillon, the fine right-handed pitcher of the Chicago Cubs, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. And JMO, CubsForACure.com. That's what we're talking about today, as well as Cubs baseball. Talk a little bit about your involvement with this and certainly your history, which is something that people have really paid a lot of attention to.
Yeah. I mean, first off, you know, I know the Cubs are doing a great thing here. We're raising a ton of money for a great cause, you know, and props to all the fans that are donating and making this really impactful and meaningful. You know, I think today is going to be pretty heavy. You know, stand up for cancer. There's going to be a lot of current people fighting cancer at the ballpark, or people being recognized who have lost loved ones. So it's going to be heavy. And for me, obviously it hits home, as someone who's had cancer, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to catch it early and get the proper treatment. And I was really lucky to have access to all the top doctors and stuff through Major League Baseball and the Pirates at the time. So I kind of made a promise to myself to be open and, you know, use my platform to speak about it, just because I realized how fortunate I was.
CubsForACure.com is the website. And JMO, you know, Bruce and I were talking about this in the first segment as we were giving out the site for our listeners to go donate. There's not a family or friend group or church group or whatever it is that is not affected in some way by cancer. And I know just in our Cubs baseball community over the past few years, we had Anthony Rizzo, we've had John Lester who had an issue. And now, as you said, you're a cancer survivor, and you mentioned some of the great care you had, but maybe if you could share with our listeners some of your journey and what happened a few years ago.
Yeah, so I think it was about May, early May, first week of May, 2017. I had had a great start to the season, but, you know, it's interesting. Like, that spring training, I had just been getting horrible migraines. I'd been sleeping a lot more. Like, there were signs that something was off. I just thought maybe, you know, it's the new long days of spring and, you know, all that, and my body trying to adjust and build up. But I was in Cincinnati, and I self-discovered a lump on one of my testicles, brought it to the attention of our trainers, and it was, you know, super quick acting from the time I got, you know, my process and treatment started. So when I was even back on a big league mound, I think it was like 5 weeks. And for me, there's no playbook for how to operate in the major league clubhouse while dealing with what I was dealing with. But for me, being around the guys and being at the field and getting to throw bullpens, like, that really helped me almost as a form of therapy. Like, baseball is what I'm comfortable doing. It's, you know, I'm comfortable being in the locker room around my boys and stuff. So, it was crazy. And then I learned quickly, kind of like what you just said, just, I hadn't known a ton of people affected by cancer up until that point. I was younger, maybe a little naive. And then once I got diagnosed, it was absolutely crazy how many people reached out and had been touched by cancer and affected by it, and how comfortable people were sharing their stories with me, and, you know, maybe how their loved ones loved baseball and had cancer and weren't fortunate to make it through, and how they feel connected to the game because their loved ones loved baseball and stuff like that. And I just realized in that moment, like, I'm going to be kind of a flag bearer for people fighting cancer and, you know, for the cancer community. I used to be a little bit ashamed of it because I was so fortunate to catch it so early and get the proper treatment. And then as I've gotten older, I'm like, you know what, I need to embrace this and really, you know, carry it with pride. And, you know, I love it when people share my story on the broadcast when I'm pitching and stuff, just in the case that maybe it can impact one person and inspire one person at home.
How did this change you? Did you stop sweating the little things for a short time, a long time? Is it possible that this alters a personality or a way that a person looks at life?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, up until that point in my life, I was 25 years old, I think I was 25. You know, baseball is the most important thing to me, and it's still a huge part of my identity and who I am, but it definitely just kind of gave me a reality check and made me realize that there are more important things to life than, you know, the box score or the results. It made me much more process driven. It made me take kind of a little bit more of a broad view of my career and my life, and made me kind of just check myself. I used to wear the bad games pretty hard, and I'd ride the highs and the lows and everything in between. And I feel like it made me a much more steady person. I mean, it definitely will shock you and change you. And it's more the, like you said, it's like the long-term lasting effect. It's something I'll never forget. It's not something you just move on from. It's something you kind of carry with you.
Jameson Taillon is our guest. CubsForACure.com is the website. If you'd like to donate to cancer research, CubsForACure.com. Over $650,000 raised already. The goal is $1 million. Of course, we'd love to go over that total as well. So CubsForACure.com if you'd like to donate. And this afternoon, the Cubs continue their series at home against the Blue Jays. Pregame at 12:45, first pitch 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. And J-Mo, a nice, exciting, dramatic win yesterday. Very exciting finish, certainly, but a much needed one after the series in Cleveland. But you guys have been playing some good baseball going into that Cleveland series, and hopefully yesterday is a start of getting back to that and putting some wins together.
Yeah. Yesterday was definitely, a nerve-wracking one, sitting there on the bench from the side. But a win's a win, and you'll take it any way you can get it. Yeah, I mean, we have been playing better for what seems like almost a month now. And then, you know, even the Cleveland series, like, we didn't come out with any wins, but I don't want that to propel us into, you know, thinking we're not playing better or let that kind of set us back. That's a good team over there, and we were right with them. We were a pitch away in a couple of the games. I mean, that was a tough series, but a good team, and now we have the chance to come home and hopefully win a couple series and then take that momentum into a big road trip coming up too.
J-Mo, explain the dynamic of having a closer and a person in your clubhouse like Hector Neris. The type of person he is, the type of teammate he is, the ice water that runs through his veins, but the blood pumping heart as a teammate for his teammates. It's hard for me as a reporter to explain that dynamic and why the support is so great, maybe you as a teammate and a player can do it better than I can.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, first off, he's just a guy who's pitched in a ton of games. I think he's top 10 in active, you know, games appeared in, games pitched for relievers. So just having someone out there with that experience. And, you know, I think it's like an interesting time for the Cubs and for, you know, especially the Cubs bullpen. We've had a lot of young guys coming up, trying to find their footing and trying to establish themselves, and having a guy like a Drew Smyly back there and having a Hector Neris back there can really impact young guys, not in just, you know, talking to them ways, but to show them, here's the proper routine. Here's what time we get to the bullpen. Here's how we do things. Here's how we warm up our bodies the right way. Here's how we're available and ready to pitch every single time our name's called. So, you know, that stuff's huge. And then, just Hector in general, just a guy who always wants the ball, always wants to be out there, whether it's going good or bad, he wants to be the guy who's out there on the mound, which, is a sign of a great teammate. And you know, I've just noticed since he's been here, our bullpen's been a much tighter knit group. He's done a great job of bringing everyone together and kind of making that chemistry. And our bullpen's been really dang good over the last couple months, pretty quietly. And I just think having that leadership back there is a big part of that.
Jameson Taillon, our guest for a few more minutes here on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score, CubsForACure.com. As we try to raise money for cancer research, please head there to donate. And J-Mo, it struck me as you were talking there about Neris and his veteran presence. You know, you're a young man of 32, but in baseball years, because of your experience, you know, you and guys like Kyle and Neris qualify as the old crafty veterans. So it's got to be an interesting thing for you as somebody who's been around the game your whole life to kind of be looked at as a leader in that clubhouse. And does that affect how you go about your business at all?
Yeah, it's weird hearing the word veteran and my name attached to it. I still feel like I'm a young guy trying to learn every day, and I feel like I still haven't even established myself. I'm still trying to get better every single day. But, you know, I've been lucky enough to be in the big leagues a little while and play with some really great players along the way. So, you know, you pick things up and you add things to your routine and you do things a certain way that, you know, hopefully other people can pick up on. And for me, I think the best thing I can do is be consistent, take the ball and maybe take some pressure off some of the younger guys or take some pressure off the bullpen. So yeah, I mean, I've always been comfortable leading my whole entire life since I was in Little League. I like when people ask me questions. I like leading by example. I like showing people, you know, how I do things, how I, you know, maybe take notes on hitters or how I warm up before a game or what my routine is down to the minute on a start day and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's stuff I've all picked up from people in the past, which is such a cool thing about baseball, that traditions and routines and stuff are passed down.
Jameson, I approached your manager, Craig Counsell, in June, and I said, early June, I said, you know, you guys have a good team, but you're heavily into player development in bullpen, at catcher, first base, center field. At that time, Morrell was at third base. I said, can you really win? Can you go to the playoffs and be that heavily involved in player development at the same time? And he said, yeah, we can, but it might take a little bit of time here. It appears to be paying off. Maybe it's not going to pay off in the playoffs for 2025-24, but what's your take on, you know, the development of, you know, Bush at first, Armstrong in center, Amaya, who hadn't caught very many games at all professionally until this year, and certainly, you know, Paredes now at third base instead of Morrell. What is your take on what I had said and where the Cubs are at?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting for us. You know, if you look at the really good teams that are consistently in the playoffs and the organizations that are, you know, held in really high regards, a lot of those teams, you know, the Astros, the Dodgers, like these organizations, even where Craig came from, the Brewers, like they give young guys a long leash and they understand that, you know, to build a sustainable winning environment and culture and organization, like you need to rely on some young guys. You have to put them in big situations and, you know, they have to learn and stuff like that. And for me, I think it's really cool that we're running out like a pretty similar lineup every day now. And for a little bit, you know, we were trying to find what's Pete's role and all that. And now Pete gets to show up to the ballpark and know he's playing center field every single day, just about. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And, you know, having a guy like Bushy hit in the middle of the order and, you know, putting a guy like Porter Hodge in a really big save situation or a really big hold situation in a big game. I think these are all great things in the short term and the long term. And, you know, whenever it's time to you know, make a big play in the playoffs, like these guys will all have already been in the big moments. So I think it's cool. And I also think, you know, at some point you have to trust young guys to go out there and get the job done. You can't baby them, or at some point the development needs to stop and you need to turn into a really, really good big league player. And I remember when I got called up with Pittsburgh, part of that for me was just being told, like, hey, dude, you're part of the rotation now. Like, whether you take your lumps or not, like, you're out there every fifth day. Go figure it out. Like, become a good big leaguer. And that's kind of what it took for me. And now it's cool to see these guys just growing up right in front of our eyes.
JMO, we appreciate your time very much. Mike and I do, as well as the station and all the people of Chicago for helping for CubsForACure.com and your story and your generosity in telling that and going over that and helping people out.
Of course.
I wonder from a teammate and people perspective, if you've been able to reach out to Ben Brown and to help him with the psychological point of what he's been going through and what he's had to deal with this year, being down for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I try to talk to guys like Ben and Wicks and Wesneski as often as I can. And, you know, once you get sent to Arizona and you're rehabbing and stuff like that, it's easy to feel forgotten about. And I think for those guys, it's important just to let them know that, like, Ben Brown, for example, like, you're a really big piece of what we're doing going forward. We need to make sure we get this right, get you healthy. Like, don't need you compromising anything and risking any further injuries somewhere else. Let's get this right. And then obviously get him back here and hopefully pitch him in some big games. But, like, going forward, this dude's a big piece of what we're doing. But sometimes it's just, you know, important to reach out to these guys and let them know that we still have a spot for them up here and we're thinking about them and stuff like that. In the heat of summer down in Arizona, when you're by yourself, it's easy to feel forgotten about.
JMO, thank you so much for taking time today and for who you are, and the best of luck to you. We appreciate you all the time. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Good talking.
Thank you, JMO. That's Jamison Tyone from the Cubs. Again, it's CubsForACure.com to donate to cancer research. The goal, $1 million, and Bruce at 650 right now, with more to come today. We'll see how high we can push that total, and we will see what else we can talk about when we come back from this break. We'll do a little Sox. We also have in very fun and interesting chin music coming up at the top of the hour. Corey Lee of the White Sox joins us next hour as well. Lots still to come here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito with you this morning here on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. Great to talk to Jamison Tyone about Cubs for a Cure. And Bruce, we head on back out to the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois to talk more Cubs for a Cure.
Danny Parkins is a hero, and he is joining us for the next few minutes to talk about the Radiothon, where Cubs and the Score have raised $650,000 plus so far for CubsForACure.com. And Danny joins us to talk a little bit about what he's been able to do, what he's done, and where he is going. Danny, thank you so much for what you've done. And first and foremost, you will be missed greatly here in Chicago.
Oh, well, thank you, Bruce. I thought that was a hell of a sign-off yesterday, and then you call me to come back on today.
One day later, I'm back on. Some people are working at that time, like myself, and didn't get a chance to hear it. I needed to personally thank you and let our baseball fans on Saturday hear from you and be able to hear you say goodbye. So maybe you'll do this five or six more times.
Bruce, anything for you. You know that. No, yesterday, I mean, listen, the the last Parkinson Spiegel show on Wednesday was incredible, and then the Radiothon Thursday to Friday was a career highlight. Rhino announcing for the first time publicly that he's cancer-free, raising $560,000 during the 24 hours of the Radiothon, contributing to the $1 million goal for cancer research for this weekend. This has been a long time coming, you know, doing it in honor of my brother Brad, who passed away last April from brain cancer. And, you know, today's the big day at Wrigley. We're going to bring the iconic Stand Up to Cancer moment from the All-Star Game and World Series to a local ballpark for the first time. So they'll be standing at Wrigley. And I'm getting ready to head down to the field right now, actually, because around 11:15 this morning, I'll be in the dunk tank to raise more money for cancer research.
And Danny, that's why we appreciate you joining us. I was going to ask you, I know you're getting dunked today. What else you guys got going on there at Wrigley today at 1:20 start, 12:45 for our pregame right here on The Score. But as CubsForACure.com rolls on for the fundraising for this weekend.
Yeah, you know, the portion of the tickets sold goes to it. They're hoping for the biggest 50-50 of the season. The players are going to have custom cleats that are going to be being auctioned off. You know, there's an auction going on during the marquee broadcast of the game, so they got all sorts of things that are going to raise money for this wonderful, wonderful cause. And you know, I think I'll raise a little bit of money with me in the dunk tank, but I think my likability is pretty high right now relative to what it had been after the Radiothon. The big ticket item is Crane Kenny. I mean, you know, take the guy who put up the video boards and took the Cubs off WGN and all of the things that you know, you want to get back at Crane Kenny for, put him in the dunk tank today at Gallagher Way. So come on out and let's raise a bunch of money.
Danny, what are you going to miss most about your radio career here in Chicago and Chicago sports fans?
Oh, well, listen, I mean, we don't have enough time, but I mean, the Spiegs and Tanny and Shane and just the mob of Parkinson Spiegel listeners that were so dedicated every day is obviously what I will miss the most. But, you know, Chicago sports fans, I'll still be talking. I'll be talking Bears nationally. You'll hear me on the station from time to time. We're still working through that, exactly what that's going to look like. The Radiothon is scheduled to continue. So, you know, I'll always be a Chicago sports fan. I've got family here. Sorry for my dog in the background. I will be making my way back to Chicago from time to time. So day to day, I'm done at The Score, but I'm not done with Chicago sports fans, and you're not done with me yet, I promise.
Danny, we look forward to hearing you again. And just like Spiegel and Parkins was different from Parkins and Spiegel, it'll be just as good and more fun going forward as you continue onwards and upwards. But good luck at the ballpark today, and let's raise some more money.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Hope to see as many people at the ballpark. If you see a guy, I'm not throwing out the first pitch. My nephew's throwing out the first pitch to Craig Counsell because he grew up with my brother Brad. And I'll be there on the field. I hope Cubs fans say hello. I'd love to shake everyone's hand and have a beer and take some pictures and just have a great day at Wrigley before I head off to New York Monday morning. So thank you all so much. I appreciate you guys.
Danny, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. That's Danny Parkins, our former afternoon show host, I can say now, and we will certainly miss him here at The Score. Bruce, coming up, one more hour of the show. We'll talk some White Sox. We will talk more Cubs. Corey Lee of the White Sox is scheduled to join us at the bottom of the hour. And some chin music is next. And Bruce, you, my friend, were intimately involved. We will tell our listeners about that next as we continue on Inside the Clubhouse here on the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito with you this morning here on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. Great to talk to Jameson Taillon about Cubs for a Cure. And Bruce, we head on back out to The Score hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois to talk more Cubs for a Cure.
Danny Parkins is a hero, and he is joining us for the next few minutes to talk about the Radiothon, where Cubs and the Score have raised $650,000 plus so far for CubsForACure.com. And Danny joins us to talk a little bit about what he's been able to do, what he's done, and where he is going. Danny, thank you so much for what you've done. And first and foremost, you will be missed greatly here in Chicago.
Oh, well, thank you, Bruce. I thought that was a hell of a sign-off yesterday, and then you call me to come back on today.
Not everybody gets back on. Some people are working at that time, like myself, and didn't get a chance to hear it. I needed to personally thank you and let our baseball fans on Saturday hear from you and be able to hear you say goodbye. So maybe you'll do this 5 or 6 more times.
Bruce, anything for you. You know that. No, yesterday, the last Parkinson Spiegel show on Wednesday was incredible, and then the Radiothon Thursday to Friday was a career highlight. Rhino announcing for the first time publicly that he's cancer-free, raising $560,000 during the 24 hours of the Radiothon, contributing to the $1 million goal for cancer research for this weekend. This has been a long time coming, you know, doing it in honor of my brother Brad, who passed away last April from brain cancer. And, today's the big day at Wrigley. We're going to bring the iconic Stand Up to Cancer moment from the All-Star Game and World Series to a local ballpark for the first time. So they'll be standing at Wrigley. And I'm getting ready to head down to the field right now, actually, because around 11:15 this morning, I'll be in the dunk tank to raise more money for cancer research.
And Danny, that's why we appreciate you joining us. I was going to ask you, I know you're getting dunked today. What else you guys got going on there at Wrigley today at 1:20 start, 12:45 for our pregame right here on the Score. But as CubsForACure.com rolls on for the fundraising for this weekend.
Yeah, you know, the portion of the tickets sold goes to it. They're hoping for the biggest 50-50 of the season. The players are going to have custom cleats that are going to be being auctioned off. You know, there's an auction going on during the marquee broadcast of the game. So they got all sorts of things that are going to raise money for this wonderful, wonderful cause. And, I think I'll raise a little bit of money with me in the dunk tank, but I think my likability is pretty high right now relative to what it had been after the Radiothon. The big ticket item is Crane Kenny. I mean, you know, take the guy who put up the video boards and took the Cubs off WGN and all of the things that, you want to get back at Crane Kenny for, put him in the dunk tank today at Gallagher Way. So come on out and let's raise a bunch of money.
Danny, what are you going to miss most about your radio career here in Chicago and Chicago sports fans?
Oh, well, listen, I mean, we don't have enough time, but I mean, the Spiegs and Tanny and Shane and just the mob of Parkinson Spiegel listeners that were so dedicated every day is obviously what I will miss the most. But, you know, Chicago sports fans, I'll still be talking. I'll be talking Bears nationally. You'll hear me on the station from time to time. We're still working through that, exactly what that's going to look like. The Radiothon is scheduled to continue. So, you know, I'll always be a Chicago sports fan. I've got family here. Sorry for my dog in the background. I will be making my way back to Chicago from time to time. So day to day, I'm done at the Score, but I'm not done with Chicago sports fans, and you're not done with me yet. I promise.
Danny, we look forward to hearing you again. And just like Spiegel and Parkins was different from Parkins and Spiegel, it'll be just as good and more fun going forward as you continue onwards and upwards. But good luck at the ballpark today, and let's raise some more money.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Hope to see as many people at the ballpark. If you see a guy, I'm not throwing out the first pitch. My nephew's throwing out the first pitch to Craig Council because he grew up with my brother Brad. And I'll be there on the field. I hope Cubs fans say hello. I'd love to shake everyone's hand and have a beer and take some pictures and just have a great day at Wrigley before I head off to New York Monday morning. So thank you all so much. I appreciate you guys.
Danny, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. That's Danny Parkins, our former afternoon show host, I can say now, and we will certainly miss him here at the Score. Bruce, coming up, one more hour of the show. We'll talk some White Sox. We will talk more Cubs. Corey Lee of the White Sox is scheduled to join us at the bottom of the hour. And some chin music is next. And Bruce, you, my friend, were intimately involved. We will tell our listeners about that next as we continue on Inside the Clubhouse here on the
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.